you so much for joining us.
I'm not just saying this for the benefit of the recording. It's never comfortable being the Mala Makom, anything that Rabbi Neuberger does. He's sort of, his ability, obviously in Sak, but maybe just as importantly in life, in advice, and in all areas. So I'm certainly a poor facsimile for that. So I appreciate everyone still joining us this morning. So I'm going to speak about a certain topic just for the next few minutes. And it's something that I know that every person here is cognizant of. First of all, already many people who were married for a long period of time, 6 years, Yaakov, 5 years, something along that line, 7 years. Well, so Yaakov for sure knows this, but any person, whether even they were not married, I'm certainly cognizant of this issue. But it's something that probably the average husband and probably even wife certainly requires chizuk in it, myself included. And so just maybe speak about that issue. The Mishnah tells us that, of course, Yochanan Zakkai sent out his Talmidim and asked each Talmid to figure out, which Mida, which Derech, which life path a person should cling to. And of course, we know that there is such a plethora of discussion on that Mishnah. And of course, the final opinion that's most significant was that a person should have a Lev Tov. But one of the Midos that was suggested was that of an Ayin Tov, that the most significant Mida that a person could develop in their life is that a person has a good eye. Now, a good eye, of course, is not the person that could pick out the nicest set of china, although that's also nice, but a good eye means that how they see people, how they evaluate people, what they see when they view the world. And that's something that's discussed at length by the Bali Musar, something that Rav Volbe discusses, and Rav Dessler and others, that perhaps the most significant mida for a person, and the mida that most defines their relations with other people, and with the world as a whole, is what does a person see when they look at other people? I meet a person immediately, and I could look at the fact that perhaps the person is a little bit more aggressive, or I could look beyond that and figure out where the aggressiveness is coming from, or I could look at all the beautiful midos the person has. A person comes into an institution, into a shul, into a school, into a yeshiva, into a community. So immediately do they see the hundreds of aspects of that community or the shul or a person or a yeshiva or that are something that are meritorious? Or does the person sort of see like the stain, the blemish, that which is not great? And again, in that time the Bali Musar discussed, that it's a mida that's so fundamental to every relationship, to every conversation, to every dynamic. What do you see? What's your ayin when you approach a person, when you approach the world? It's a beautiful Svas Emes on the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos. So, of course, the Mishnah says, Don es kol ha'odom l'kaf z'chus. A person should judge every person l'kaf z'chus for in a meritorious fashion. So the Svas Emes points out that if, in fact, the Mishnah was trying to communicate was that you should judge every person l'kaf z'chus, so the Mishnah would say, Don es kol adam, judge every person. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Don es kol ha'adam, you should judge the entire person, l'kaf z'chus. Not judge every person, but Don es kol ha'adam, that you judge the totality of a person, and that you look to judge that person, l'kaf z'chus. So if you see a person, instead of focusing on this mida or that mida or this prat or that prat, but you see the totality of an individual, the totality of a person, and you form your feelings towards the person based on the totality of that experience. I have to say, anybody here, and that's most of you are in this room, who plan on going into Klei Kodesh, especially plan on going to Rabbanus, it's an absolutely critical mida for a person. If a person walks into a shul, think about any of the shuls that you grew up in, and knowing the shuls you grew up in, I don't know St. Louis so well, but other than that, you know, and the characters you have to deal with, and the personalities you have to deal with, and the attitudes, and the midos sometimes, you know, it'd be very easy for us to walk around feeling a sense of negativity towards their balabatim, a sense of anger, of dislike towards their tamidim, towards their balabatim. And then how can a person be effective in Klei Kodesh, if that's a dominant feeling, one of frustration, anger, negativity, judgmentalness? But if you can look at every person and say, what's the totality, kol ha'adam, what's the totality of that person, and where are they coming from, and why are they acting in a certain way, and let's see all the beautiful things about that person. Let's mention as a side note, my first year in the shul that I'm in now in Muncie, a wonderful shul, but I came from a certain type of shul in Baltimore, Shomrei Munam. And then for better or for worse, I spent the next 15 years in this base medrash. I really wasn't sort of equipped to understand the world of like balabatim necessarily. And my first year there, there was these two guys who sat in shul speaking during Unisana Tokef. And I just, like, it almost like ruined my entire yontif. Like speaking during Unisana Tokef, mi yichya, mi yamuz, and these guys are talking, and what are they talking about? They probably not speak about Dvarim She'om Din Beruma She'olam. Yeah, the Yankees or... And I had such like an anger about it and such a frustration about it. And then upon further reflection, I realized that these were two people that never went to yeshiva, had no idea what they were saying and davening in the first place, didn't have the rebbeim that I had in life, didn't have the experiences that I had in life, were not impassioned in any way whatsoever. But yet they came every single week and sometimes even every single day and sent their kids to yeshiva and kept kosher and gave tzedakah. And wow, these people are heroes in many ways of Klal Yisrael. And that's sort of the perspective of Donis Kol Ha'adam L'Kavzchus. Now that midah of how we see people in our life, to some degree, it's not easy, but it's easier when it's the guy down the block and it's the quote-unquote knucklehead balabas in your shul, or it's the guy who sits in the base medrash, or maybe even your chavrusa, or maybe even some person that is not emotionally connected to who you are as a person. But when it comes to your children, and it comes to your wife, and the ability to sort of see often the totality of that person, and to not walk around feeling critical, and feeling negative, and feeling frustrated, and feeling judgmental, that's much more difficult. It's almost natural in a way for a person, again, this is maybe more an issue for those of you who are in Shana Rishona, which is a number of you, to walk into a home and feel frustrated, my wife doesn't do things the way that my mother did it, or why does she do this, or why does she respond this way, or why is it that around my friend, she's more like X and not more like Y, and why is it that she's too loud in that circumstance, or why is it that her cooking is not exactly this, or why is it she doesn't put herself together more when we go over here, or why is it that this, or why is it that like she doesn't respond to me the way that I want to be responded? I mean, there's sort of like a thousand different things, and then often that becomes areas, not necessarily fixation, but areas of, like, that's what's in our mind, sort of those pieces, the critical pieces, and that's sort of what we see first, and that's what we can sometimes latch onto. And the avoda of a husband, especially a husband in Shana Rishona, but after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, is to step back and say, like, who am I married to? An amazing person who puts up with me, who's exceedingly giving, who's growth-oriented, who, if not already is a great mother, will be a great mother, who's a great daughter to her parents, who has a mida of kindness, who's a good friend to her friends. And you sort of see the totality of a person, and then you build the energy of how you relate to that person or the marriage, that the energy is an outgrowth of just this enormous appreciation and hakaras hatov and ayin tova and this overwhelming feeling of shefa of being able to share your life with that person. And if that's a dominant feeling, okay, so there's a criticism or there's something that's not perfect, or I can speak to her about X, or I can feel negative, but the totality of the experience is this beautiful energy that's been created because of your evaluation of your wife or your evaluation of your husband. And that's a totally different type of marriage. It's a totally different type of marriage where you go through your life feeling, I'm the luckiest person in the world to be married to this person, and this person's amazing, and you let your wife know that every single day that you're married to her, maybe not in a way that becomes like impossible to deal with. You know, like, you don't have to tell me 95 times I'm great and that you're lucky. Like, okay, it doesn't have to be like, you know, it doesn't have to be nauseatingly so, but if that's the whole attitude, that's the whole energy that's created, so then all the small points along the way that either need to be addressed or don't be addressed, that's all sort of like the tuffel. That becomes very much butel to the larger experience of living with that very special person. Whenever I think about that experience and that midah, I always think about a couple different stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's mention two stories. Somebody came to interview or speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know if people have heard these stories before. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was sitting in the front room where his svarim were at. And all of a sudden, he got up from the interview, and he stood very quickly, and he put up like a, he did up his jacket, and he put on his hat, and he sort of straightened out his whatever he was wearing. And the person who was interviewing him said, you know, Rebbe, are you okay? Like, who's coming in, and what's happening, and is everything okay? Do you have to leave? He said, no. He said, I'm standing here, and I see that my wife is coming into the house. And the Gemara tells us that an ish v'isha, man and woman live together, harmoniously, that the Shekhinah resides in that home. And Shlomo Zalman said, that's the way that I feel when I see my wife coming into the house. I feel like that the Shekhinah is coming along with her. And like the Shekhinah is walking to the house. I'm not going to sit here like a schlub in my bathroom. And therefore, he sort of put himself together. There's another story about Shlomo Zalman. That Shlomo Zalman's wife passed away before him. And his children asked Shlomo Zalman whether or not he had asked Mechila from his wife before she passed away. It's kind of not exactly the question you'd normally like ask your parent. So he said, no, there was no need. You know, there's no need for me to ask Mechila. Now, for those of you who've been married for long enough, Yaakov, do back me up on this. You know, the fact that a person can go through 60 years and have no need to ask Mechila from their wife, you know, usually 6 minutes, maybe an hour, one night, two nights, you know, but 60, 65 years. So they come to like a whole lifetime. He said, I never went through a day in my life where I wasn't cognizant that I was living with like an Isha Kadosha, with a special person of who your mother was, of what she was like as a wife. And I'm going to insult her, I'm going to denigrate her, I'm going to speak critically, I'm going to scream at her. Like, how can I do such a thing living with such a person? They tell the story about Rabbi Hyman. Rabbi Hyman, of course, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas back in the 50s. And Rabbi Hyman's wife used to go like running out every night to go do various chasadim in Brooklyn. But the history of the story is that when Rabbi Hyman was nifter, so the Bacharim came to be Menachem Avel to the Rebbetzin. And the Rebbetzin said, if you want to know what it means to be a husband, so let me tell you what the Rosh Yeshiva was like. And she would go out doing the various chasadim that she was involved in. And every night, he would rush back from the Beis Medrash. And he would have, like, waiting for her, a cup of tea and, like, a piece of cake on the table for when she came in. So Rabbi Hyman told Rabbi Hyman, he said, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva, like, running here, coming, piece of cake. He's like, you know, you're busy, you're giving a shir, you're giving a vow. He said, there's nothing more important in my life than to me to show you the cover that you deserve, and for me to be here when you walk through the door, and that your bed is made, and that a piece of cake is cut. He's like, to me, that's the greatest avodah. There's nothing more significant in my life than those gestures towards you. Now, if a person thinks about that story about Rabbi Hyman, or the story about Rav Shlomo Zalman, and many, many others, the person asks themselves, how does that come about? A marriage where a husband sees such greatness in his wife that he doesn't insult her for the entire life, that he sees the Shekhinah come in with her, how does a person create that? So let me just say three things very briefly. The first is that often, with time, the feelings of enormous appreciation for one's wife grows over a period of time. A person just gets married, they're married for 6 months or a year and a half. The life is just beginning, and hopefully it's a beautiful life. But as a person gets older, and they see their wife accomplish so much, and have a job and be involved in the community and still keep a home together and raise children and be a great mother and be a great wife and be a person of respect and to build a life together and build a home together. You know, Ein Odome, that enormous sense of appreciation that a person has after 10 years than they do after 1 year, and after 30 years, and after more so than 5 years, and on and on. And that feeling in a good marriage of that enormous respect only grows. That's point number one. Point number two is that sometimes a person can't speak to their wife properly or evaluate their wife properly because there's some underlying issue. A person feels their needs are not being met. A person themselves doesn't feel appreciated. A person themselves doesn't feel a connection. A person themselves feels some underlying issue, and that underlying issue manifests itself in daily life, in daily communication, in daily evaluation of their wife, in daily all those things. And a person really has to stop and think, like, is there some underlying issue that's making me feel resentful instead of positive, that's making me feel negative instead of this beautiful sense of being positive, the Ayin Tova? And if that issue is there, that's an issue that has to be addressed, that has to be spoken out with either a Rebbe or a therapist. If there's some underlying issue that's not allowing a person to properly evaluate the wonderful person they're married to. And lastly, chances are that Shlomo Zalman married a very special person. Rabbi Hyman married a very special person. But chances are that just as much, they spent the life creating that positive energy. They spent the life coming back to their apartment, thinking to themselves, how great my wife is, and what positive thing can I say, and how do I create a genuine connection? How do I express my genuine appreciation? That energy was created, a life was created. I mean, the greatness of Shlomo Zalman was honestly who they married, but it was probably the energy they created in their relationship that allowed them to see their wife in a certain type of way. So I give all of us a bracha. When I say us, I mean us as well. I'm celebrating my 20th year wedding anniversary. It's a tremendous gift, but there's never a point in your life where you can sort of stop working on being a good husband or be a good wife. It's not like riding a bike where, oh, you know, after X amount of time, okay, like I have a down pat. Like, you never have a down pat. And if you ever think you have marriage down pat, that's usually when things begin to fall apart because you're not putting in the work that you need to continue to cultivate a great relationship. But I give all of us a bracha that we go home and we think every single day of what can I do to create a positive energy? What can I do to live my life with an Ayin Tova? Should I send my wife a text and just let her know that I'm thinking of her and that I appreciate her? The small gifts, the comments, the small embraces, the positive evaluation, you know, all of those things. And if you build that type of life, that type of fabric, that type of connection, that type of energy, then you end up having the type of life that's described by Shlomo Zalman, where you really feel that, like, when your wife walks into the house, you see what an amazing feeling of respect that you have for that person. So we should all be that bracha. I feel very close to all of you in this room, and if at any point in your life, but about marriage or other things, it's ever worth sort of sitting down and talking through some of these issues or other issues, by all means, certainly feel free to do so.